be in God's house. We're thankful that Silver City has opened their doors tonight, that no matter who goes by or where a lost person might be in their life, the lights of the little church is on, that they might be able to go by and just wonder what's going on at that little place, that on the first night of a new year, we're still over here praying. We're still over here worrying for that one lost soul, just like Jesus did one time as he wrote down in his one of the Gospels, I believe it was, that he left the 99 and he went for that one. And you know, he's given us that of another year that I believe, I don't know if we'll make it all the way through 2008, but if I don't make it through it, I'll make it to the other side, and I'll be able to have a new life, and I'll have that of a new home, and I'll have a new year that we have never even experienced before in our life, a year of that will never come to an end. The bottle will never drop over there at that place. We'll go to a place that there won't be no countdown, there won't be no none of this, but I know of a lot of saints of old that I believe you could just about see the numbers ticking down in that of their life, and they have left this walk of life. They didn't make it to 2008. We've lost quite a few in the past few years, a lot of saints that walked before us, that stood in this very place, or stood in many places ahead of us, and many prayer warriors that sit back here in the benches that prayed that little foolish boys like me would come along sometime and still carry that message, that their grandkids and their great-grandkids and their children might come and hear the gospel. And they, you know what? God has a remedy for everything. He ain't going to quit just because somebody's passed away. You know what? If I go away, the Lord's going to put somebody else in this spot. That, don't worry about God running out of that of salvation. He'll never run out of a salvation. He's never going to run out of scriptures. There ain't one time that I've opened this Bible up, and I know the preachers and all of you know it better than me, but there ain't a time I've opened this book up that something new don't just pop up at me. And I've never seen. I thought many times when I get done preaching, y'all might not ever do this, but I've meant many a times I'll go home and read that same scripture that I preached about, and I said, oh Lord, I wish I could use that. I wish I could have done that, but Lord has everything right in the palm of His hands. If we'll just let Him have His will and His way tonight, and have it in your life tonight. I thought above another tonight, and it came to me this morning as I was sitting on this bench. Don't wait too late in 2008. Let me tell you, we've waited long enough for look at how our world is today. I know they say that Christians are a silent people, but let me tell you something. It's time that we stand up and speak about some of the things that's going wrong in this land and country. We got men and women fighting overseas that will have the freedom to come and put on our little church clothes. And let me tell you, let me tell you, we need this year before anything happens. I tell you, we're going to have, if you want to look at it, I don't want to get into politics, but if you look at it, we're having a time, aren't we, this year. We don't, I don't even know who I want to pick to be the leader of this country. I wouldn't even write a name down right now, but you know what? I heard a man, and the people probably won't ever vote for him, but out of Arkansas, that when they asked him if he believed in God, he said, yes, I do. I believe he is the Savior of my life. Let me tell you, there's one God. There ain't another. You know what it says? It confuses some people whenever it says over there in the commandments that don't put no other God before God. And that reason He tells you, it ain't because He makes there's other gods out there. It's because if we put the ball game, or if we put the NASCAR race, or if we put spending time with our family above Jesus Christ first and foremost, we're putting something before God. And I surely ain't preaching all down to you, but I'm preaching what God brings tonight. Let me tell you, there's too much going wrong right now to lose what we do have. You even think about whenever I was growing up, you went to a revival, when you went to churches, we had
service. A lot of nights, all they had Saturday night singings. Let me tell you, all they come together to have a meeting because they love being together with their Christian fathers. And I know it's we're running to and fro. I got four children, and I know it ain't much longer before they're going to get under the conviction, and then there'll still be ball games, there'll still be football, there'll be cheerleading, there'll be all these things. But children, let me tell you, first and foremost in their life is to meet Jesus Christ as their personal Savior one day down the road, because it don't matter what team they get on about, no matter what school they go to, it don't matter what college they go to. It matters if they have ever met Jesus Christ as their Savior or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when you're sitting there, as bad as it sounds, if you're sitting there standing above somebody on their deathbed and you see them gasping for that last sip of air, in my mind, I think all the time it makes me mad that I wait that long, but I wait until they're on their deathbed and I start wondering, did they ever get what they needed? They ain't worried about the ball game they missed. They ain't worried about not making it to their job. They're not worried about their children at that time. They're worried about if they're going to make it or not. I tell you, I went, and I'll get to this reading in just a minute, but let me tell you an experience in my life. I had an uncle that lived down in Jacksonville, Florida. And I loved him with all my heart. He was an uncle to me. I had my mama's brother, but I never got a testimony from him when he was alive. And then whenever I told my preacher calling, I wanted to find out if all my family, both sides, had Jesus as their Savior. And then I got a phone call on a Monday a couple years ago, and they said, well, your uncle has passed away, and we want you to come down here. He wanted you to have a part in his funeral. And I tell you, to Jacksonville, Florida, from up here, it's about 6 to 8 hours. And you have the whole way down there. Only thing I could think of the whole way was, did he ever meet Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? I didn't care if he was sick. I didn't care if how he got killed. I wanted to know if he ever met Jesus. And have you ever stood over somebody that you loved and never got an answer? I couldn't stand up there and say, he's in a better place. He's not. I don't know that he's in a better place. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people nowadays you see them on TV, you see celebrities and all this, and let me tell you, they think that they've got it made. They think when somebody famous dies that automatically they're in a better place. Let me tell you, the Lord said, it don't matter what your name is. It don't matter if you're the President of the United States. It don't matter if you're the biggest member in this church right here. And I ain't shouting down this church. But let me tell you something. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter who your daddy is. It don't matter who your grandparents were. Let me tell you something. If you never accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be just like the rich man. You'll die and lift your eyes in the devil's hell.
Amen.
Tim ain't getting in on Jack's coattails. I ain't getting in on my daddy's coattails. Let me tell you something. You ain't getting in unless you went through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. I am the way. And I pray I get over. Bear with me. I got a couple places I need to read tonight. I need to do everything that God had me to do. I'm going to be first in Hebrews in the 12th chapter, first couple of verses. Then I'm going to be over in 1 Romans in the 16th chapter. And then I'm going to skip over to Mark, and I'll be in the 5th chapter of Mark. And God may He have His blessing on the reading of this, but I think it's sufficient. A lot of times I'll get started and I get ahead of myself, but the Lord just stopped me and He said, read what I have for you. They need to hear what God has to say tonight. You listen now. In the 12th chapter it says, wherefore seeing we are all so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight, the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, Him endured the cross despite the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Let me tell you something tonight. If that don't give you joy beyond compare, you look at what life Jesus lived. You think you're living a rough life. You think I'm probably one of the most impatient people there is. If there's a line somewhere to eat, I'll go somewhere else. Let me tell you. But you know what? We need to run this race of Christian Christians. We need to run this race of worrying about our children with patience. We need to have patience, and we don't need to push them. Let me tell you. I've heard many stories of people that says, I've got people that work with me that are lost, and I keep asking. Let me tell you something, you go in there tomorrow, you ask one more time that they might come over here to Silver City. Let me tell you, you ask one more time that they might come to the revival. You ask one more time that that brother-in-law or that sister-in-law or that cousin might come back to church one more time. Because you know what? God's still willing to save them. God's still willing. I had somebody this week at my work that I've never, I've always tried to live a Christian life, but she come up out of nowhere, never even talked about church or nothing like that. And she asked me this week, she said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And I said, what God give me? I said, you must have come with a contrite spirit and a broken heart. You got to come willing. You can't just say, I want to be saved. You can't just say, I'm ready to be saved. Let me tell you, you got to come when God has you ready to come. Let me tell you, I can't put in your heart that lost condition. I can't put it in your mind that you need to come to the altar. But I'll pray with you. And I told her, I said, I think that you must hear the gospel. I might be wrong, but I think you must hear the gospel before that conviction power goes down. You can't just live out in the lie. You got to start making a change for God. I know that you don't have to be in church to be saved, but I do believe you need to hear the gospel. You got to hear the gospel. It has to find its lodging place. I think that heart needs to be pricked by Jesus Christ Himself. And I told her, if you want to pray, we'll pray. I come up out of my little prayer I'm cleaning, and she's just a boo-hoo. She's probably as mean as they come. I mean, she don't shed a tear for nothing, and she was a boo-hoo. I said, I believe you got the broken heart. But you need to get somewhere to hear the gospel. I said, if you want to pray right now, we'll pray. I'll pray for you as much as I can. But you know what? We can only do so much. We can only do so much. And she turned and she walked away. But let me tell you, I'm still praying. I'm still hoping. There's a lot of people that work with me that I believe need to hear the gospel. I believe, and if the Lord would set me free, I'd cut loose at work. That don't bother me. But it ain't sufficient unless the Lord's in it. Eddie can't do it. But you listen now. In the 16th verse, it's, for I am not ashamed. Are we ashamed this morning, tonight? Just like it was preached this morning. Peter was a great man. That followed God, that loved God. I believe he loved Jesus with all his heart. He loved him more than anybody else in his life. But when it comes down to your job on the line, when it comes down to your family walking out the door, when it comes down to you putting your life on the line for Jesus Christ, are you willing to go that extra step? Are you willing to do like Peter said? Peter said, I'll go all the way to the end. I'll go all the way to death. But let me tell you, I get kind of scared when I think about death. You might say, well, you're wrong, preacher. Let me tell you something. I'm ready to go when God's ready to take me. But I want to stay here as long as God will let me, as long as He'll let me see my kids grow up. I want to see them all get saved. I want to see all my friends get saved. I want to go to a few more revival meetings. I want to go and hear a few more songs sung. But let me tell you, when it's time to go, I'm ready. But are you ashamed of Him on this side? It's easy. And I'm not preaching down on you. I know I'm not trying to fuss on you. But let me tell you, we don't need to be ashamed of God. There's a lot of people that are standing bold against God right now. We need to stand bold for God, that we'll be a front runner. We can be like John was over there. They asked him, are you the Christ? And he said, no. He's the one that come before Him. He was a witness. He was the one that was in the wilderness cleaning out the ways that Jesus might have an easier path. Let me tell you something, it's our jobs to go the highways and the hedges and clean out a few weeds if you have it. It's time that we start getting back on track for God. Let me get over to this. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also the Greek. And I'm going to read over in Mark, if God be my witness or my helper tonight, in the 5th chapter. We might just talk about it, but you think that you're living a life out there in the world. You don't know if you'll ever make it right. Let me tell you, you can go and you can quote me on this, but let me tell you, you go tell your friends, you go tell your family, all the people that say I'm going to wait before I make things right. Let me tell you, they'll never get their life straight enough to make it back into the doors of the church. Let me tell you, you'll never make it good enough out there to make it back in here. You'll never make your life right enough to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he told this man over here that was he was untamed. He was when Jesus went over to this land on the ship, he got over there and there's a man that was in the tombs that they were trying to bind him up with chains, and they tried to tame him, and there wasn't a man that could tame him. There wasn't a chain that could hold him or fetters that could hold him. Let me tell you something. This man was probably as wild as you'll ever read in the Bible. He was a man that would cut himself. He would cry out at night. He was doing all these things. But when Jesus comes on the scene, there's a change that takes place. You might think that, you got a friend that there ain't no hope for them. You might have somebody in your life there ain't no hope for them. But let me tell you, there's a change that needs to be done in their life. And there's only one person that can do that change, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. And he went over there and he told that spirit. I'll read this. He said unto him, come out of him, the man of the unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, and saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, I don't know if he was talking to that man or if he was talking to that spirit at the time, because let me tell you, there's plenty. Whenever you think about Legion, that means a lot. There's many of them. Let me tell you, there's many demons out there. Many things going wrong in the world. Grab a hold of you by all the devil's might he has, that he might influence you, that you might live a good life. You know what a lot of people think about this? They think, well, I had a conviction spirit touched me one time, but it's left. It's gone away. Let me tell you something. If it's gone away and you ain't never found yourself on your knees asking Jesus to save your soul, let me tell you, it's gone, and the Lord has turned you over to a reprobate mind. And what does that mean? He's put your mind over. He said, I'm done away with it. He stowed you away. How would you like to think that somebody in your family, God has just stowed them away from the side? You say, well, God won't do that. It says it in the Bible. It says it in the Scripture. Yeah. That He'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. And what will they do? They can come into the church house. They can go on their everyday walks of life. And they'll never think anything's ever wrong with them. Until one day, they die. You think this rich man over there with Lazarus one time, Lazarus begged and he's at his gates, and he probably never knew exactly what that man at the gates was doing. He never knew why this man, that the dogs would lick the wounds on him. They don't know why this man that was half dead was just wanting the crumbs off of his table. I just could imagine. If that beggar just one, or if that rich man just one time, would have took just a little crumb off his table and had just a little bit of kindness in his heart, to give that little beggar man. It ain't a big thing. He didn't go to hell because he was rich. He didn't go to hell for nothing else. But he never accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He never answered the call of that conviction power. And let me tell you this. I didn't want to go there, but the Lord has done this. And you pray just for a minute. There's a lot of people out nowadays, and I might not in here, but I might step on some toes out there. But let me tell you, you can tell them I said it. Because in the Bible it says if they're a dog, call them a dog. Let me tell you, there's churches or somewhat of buildings that's being built up right now that a lot of people are going into. A lot of people are leaving the walks of life that we live. We're leaving the Baptist Association as we know it. And I'm not saying that the Baptist Association is the best, but I believe our doctrines are close enough to what God would have us to do. Let me tell you, we believe that you must come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you must be saved, and that there's the scriptures and they're winding it all up and they're straightening it on back out in their own way that makes them feel okay. Let me tell you, there's churches that people I've talked to that say, I like to go there because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good when I go in there. Let me tell you something. I like it like this morning when I got my shoes touched on, my feet touched on a little bit. It made me open up my heart and receive the message that was preached. Did it touch your heart this morning? Did it touch my heart this morning? Because you know what? We do need to put God first in our life. We need to put our children, get them up ready for church. We need to get help all we can. We need to do everything we can. Because there's too many places now that's playing church. Let me tell you, my little daughter back there, she's got dolls. And she's got all these little play sets and all this tea time and stuff like that. And I love to sit down with my daughter. And I love to play with dolls. And I love to play a little tea time. I got a little bit of time that I spend with my... she's already 7 years old, about to be eight this year. She's already growing up fast. I want to enjoy this time while I can. And me and my son will go on the trampoline and we'll play wrestle. But there's a time to play and there's a time to be serious. And let me tell you, it's a serious time when you come into there in the church house that you'll get a book. Still sending mercy, and he's still sending grace out, other than we might change from our wicked ways. I have a tape. My grandmother has a tape, and I ain't putting him above nobody else. But I never got to meet my papa. I've heard great things about him, but I never got to meet my papa. Came, but he carried the word. And she got a little tape when he got sick, when they used to have a morning show on the radio that somebody go in and preach for about 30 minutes. And this was back before I was born, so it was in the 70s. Way before anything started changing. It's back when the life was still good, where you went up and you got into church, and you heard about chicken houses being turned into churches. You heard about sawdust on the floor, and you heard about good old gospel singing. And let me tell you, I heard some good old gospel singing this morning. It was beautiful. Y'all have a beautiful choir, and use it to the best of God's ability that it might ring out to a lost and dying world. I tell you, I've had some songs that touched my heart that I can't put above nothing. But let me tell you, they're changing, and these churches are changing the music, the more upbeat, they're changing. Let me tell you, there ain't nothing better than a little old woman or a little old man that can't hardly carry a tune trying to sing Amazing Grace. Let me tell you, it ain't nothing better than a good time with God, because it's coming from the heart, and it's going to honor and glory of Jesus Christ. It ain't going to lift us up. Let me tell you, there's a time for playing, and there's a time for having church. And if we don't separate that from our children, who will? And I want my children, and I know it probably aggravates me more than it does anybody else, but my children to run around and they get on my nerves. But I'd rather have them running around in church than be running out away from the Lord. And this might sound bad to some people, but you know what? I want them to be free to move in the church house. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So whenever that feeling comes on them Oh, they won't think that daddy's going to get on to me if I walk down to the front. Because the devil will use that. I guarantee you. He used it on me. He uses everything he can. And you know what? He's using these people that they might build these buildings. And you know what? If you had the Phillips Arena, or if you had Turner Field, or you had the Georgia Dome, whatever the biggest facility is, and you had it filled with gospel, God-fearing people, and you had nothing but the true Spirit of God ringing out, I can tell you the whole Atlanta, Georgia would be saved. Because there'd be so much Spirit bottled up in there that once you open the door, people would have to kneel down on that. I believe God can do it. I know God can do it. But it's up to us. I'm not saying we need to go get a coalition and go down there to Turner Field. But this building right here is big enough to hold quite a few. You know what? It's up to us. And I tell you this, and I ain't trying to ease his job any, or ease the deacon's job any, or nothing like that. I'm not trying to put it off to give the preachers any slack. But let me tell you, if there's a deacon that ain't coming to church, if there's a saved person in your church, you might run me off and tell me never to come back. That's all right. If there's a clerk, if there's a treasurer, or if there's just somebody that you know they've been saved and they know the right from wrong, it ain't up to this one. They go get them and bring them back. Because they know who Jesus is. And they know what God has called them to do. Now I'll go and I'll pray with them if they need praying. But let me tell you, if you slave folks get out of the way of the Lord, you know you're going to get your own whippings. You don't have to have me come and tell you. You know what? We already have enough lost people out there that we need to go and pray for and bring in. That we shouldn't have to worry. And I know we worry. We worry all the time about where's the number in the church going. From one Sunday to the next, it might be a lot, it might be a little. We can't worry. And I worry that they are not where they're supposed to be. But we can't worry for that one that's away from the Lord, that knows the Lord. We need to worry about the one that's away from the Lord that don't know Him. That they might come and accept Him as Jesus, as their Savior. Because you know it is the only thing that'll get them to the other side. And I'm about done with what God had me to do. I don't want to go any farther, but you know, I do want to share this. God's give me this one thought and I'll be done. But you do have a duty as lay members, as prayer warriors, as deacons, as pastors, as preachers. We need to be just as willing as them four men over there one time that they went to a man that had palsy. He had something wrong with him over there. And they all went to a different corner of the bed, didn't they? Because they heard that Jesus was passing by. You know what? I can say without a shadow of a doubt, I have this much confidence in this church right here that in 2008 there will be a lot of Sundays, there will be a lot of revivals that are filled with the Spirit of God. And you know what? You need to go and get that one that's with the palsy. You need to go get that one that's sin sick. That one that has leprosy over there. What's leprosy? Well, I think now it's that of being sin sick. That one that has spots. It's not clean in the eyes of the Lord. Because when the Lord washes you white as snow, you're clean again. You don't have spots. It's just like what leprosy was back in the day of the Old Testament. They could see the spots and they knew that it was unclean. He had unclean spirits about it. You know what? Like over there with Naaman one time. Just deal with me. Bear with me one second. But Naaman over there, he said he had leprosy, didn't he? And he wanted some great thing to happen, didn't he? He wanted some big thing. And then that little old good woman came over there and said, if he had asked you something great to do, wouldn't you done it? The Lord's giving you an easy way. Only thing you've got to do is come. Now on your knees and ask Him to save you. And you know what Jesus put in this Bible? That preachers might preach out. That people might be able to read. He put in here that if anybody comes with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, I turn none away. There ain't a one that He'll turn away. They come over there, them four men, and I'll be done when I'm done with this. But they went over there and they all knew exactly where they needed to be. I pray that we're in one mind and in one accord, doing that in the will of God. If we come together in one mind and one accord, things will happen. Things will change. Church camp, you won't even be able to bring as many people back lost that went, because everybody that goes will come back saved. Everybody under the revival that comes under the drippings of the gospel will be saved. If we'll get on fire for the Lord, if we'll have 2008 can be bigger than any other year. If we do that, then four men. They could not be stopped on that night. I don't believe, I don't know if it's a day or night, I believe it was a night. I don't believe anybody could have stopped them on that day to do the will of God. Don't let anybody, the devil especially, stop you for doing whatever God have you to do this year. Don't wait till it's too late in 2008, because it could be your child. It could be your children. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be somebody in your church that you look at and say, well, I never thought he was lost. This man had to pause. They took him over there to where Jesus was. And let me tell you, everybody wants to know, everybody knows this story, but everybody wants to know, how can I be a witness? Oh, well, what can I do? Oh, what can I do? Oh, you can be just like this man. Whenever they laid him down over there, John, where Jesus was, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. Take up your bed and walk. And I want you to think about this just a minute. Whenever he told, whenever they told him over there, take up your bed and walk. I believe he grabbed his bed up and he threw it up on his shoulder and he started walking straight out of where, away from Jesus. And he went up to everybody and they said, testimony. That's something that God Himself has given you personally. I don't have a testimony like Tim. He don't have one like me. But we still got the same thing. Amen. Haven't you been a witness? You go and tell people your testimony. You carry your bed on your shoulder that somebody might come and ask, well, what are you doing with that smile on your face? Why are you so happy? A lot of people do this. I've started doing this lately, and I ain't trying to boast myself, but I've done this a lot lately. When you see somebody, you say, well, how you doing? They might say good. They might say bad. When they ask me back lately, the Lord's given me one thing to say. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Look at the look you get on people's face. I was at a gas station the other night. A woman asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm blessed. She goes, aren't we all? I've never seen her in my life. But I have a feeling in my heart that she might be okay. Because you know what? That'll spark a conversation with the Lord. And what better conversation to have with somebody than the Lord? You want to know how to be a witness? Just ask God how to bless you every day of your life. You know what? He will. He will. I'm done.
Come get us on. Let's stand there.
If you're lost, whatever your need is, it's at ease.
Well, this is all.
revival at Ridgeview, him and Gary. And, oh, the Lord let me stand one morning over there and give me this one thought. And the Lord said, let me leave this with that at Silver City, because we're all going to be going to different places when we leave here. And in the morning, the work week's going to start, and we're all probably going to go to a different workplace. And you want to know how God's word gets spread? As you take him with you, wherever you go. We say, well, God's not welcome some of the places I go. Let me tell you, God saved my soul as a 10-year-old boy. And he got a little home on the side of the little house right here. He got a room just for him right here. That he goes everywhere I go. You know what? If my job wants to fire me because somebody asks if I'm saved, let me go, because the Lord will give me another. He'll do the same for you. He won't leave nobody without. Let me tell you this. I want to ask you this one question, and you can ask yourself this. And the only way to be truly honest is to be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Tonight, can you tell me, without a shadow of a doubt, who told you that you were saved? Who told you you were saved? There's a lot of people nowadays telling you that you're all right. I've seen them in churches get all in the side of somebody's ear while they're praying. Get up from there, you're fine. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ himself on that August morning, the second week in August on a Tuesday, himself came down from the portals of glory. And he come down to me and reached out his hand and he said, Eddie, you're saved. Yeah. And that's the only way I know that I'm saved is Jesus told me.
Amen.
And I know a multi-millionaire. And I know a big-time preacher, Tim. I love your daddy with all my heart. He's the pastor of our church.
Amen.
My daddy was standing right here when I came around and I said I was lost. And you know what my daddy did? Now this is my daddy that took me to ball games, taught me how to ride a bike, taught me how to hit, taught me how to throw. And you know what my daddy did? He moved out of the way and said, well, you got to talk to the Lord. There's enough bad influence going around that we don't need a confused, a broken heart, or a contrite spirit. We need to lead them. I pray I never get in that ear of somebody. I'll try and pray as much as I can. Honestly, I will. But ask yourself this question as they sing this next song. Because Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, nobody, come to the Father except they go by me. That means goes through me. If Jesus didn't tell you, then nobody else down here. So let me tell you, there ain't a person down here. I love my daddy with all my heart. I love my mama. I love my aunt. I love my grandmother and all them. I love you, Tim.
Bless your heart, Daddy.
So this man, as great as he love is, you. Couldn't save me.
Yes.
Daddy couldn't save me.
Amen.
Only the Lord could.
Yeah.
And only the Lord could tell me I was. It's up to you as they sing this next song. Is it right in your life? Did God himself tell you that you're saved? Because there's a lot of people, a lot of wolves that are in sheep clothing, going to and fro saying, follow me. Follow me and you'll be okay. No, you won't. If you're not following Jesus, you're not all right. Now go ahead.